Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, and the word of the Lord says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." I'm going to go to Jonah chapter 2 verse 1. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Verse 9, he says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving." Or the voice of praise. That'll preach. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10 says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Can you imagine what that looked like? We're going to talk tonight on the last of the sermon series, Lessons from Jonah. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. I thought it was interesting. I did a word search. I just happen to like to do these from time to time, but the word vomit is used 8 times. This is the only instance in the King James Version where the word vomited is used. Just think about what a situation Jonah was in. And we've learned about Jonah 3 weeks. I'm not going to go into a big introduction, but I will build a quick foundation for those of you that have maybe have missed a couple of this sermon series. Jonah was a prophet. The book of Jonah is only 4 chapters long. He was a contemporary of Hosea and Amos. And Jonah, the book of Jonah is more about the prophet versus the prophecies. And Jonah, we read in the scripture that he really only prophesied twice. Once was in around the time of Jeroboam the third, and the other time was here in when we get to chapter 4 and you read, or specifically Jonah chapter 3, where he prophesies to Nineveh. Nineveh was a large city. It was a city that was wicked. It was known for its atrocities. It was around a population of 100,000 of men. It was men and women, but it was a city that the scripture says was great and it was wicked. And Jonah was called of God as a prophet to go to Nineveh to minister to those people there. And he disregarded. We learned about Jonah's disobedience. We learned about Jonah's selfishness. We learned about Jonah having to make a decision. And his decision affected those that were around him, right? The Mariners, and they threw him, not the baseball team, but the other sailors and shipmates. While he was sleeping, the scripture called him, "Oh, sleeper." And so we use the word, "Oh, he's a sleeper." Well, Jonah was the first one in the Bible called, "Oh, sleeper." And in, like, I want to say it's in Jonah chapter 2, right around verse 9, he says, "I'm a Hebrew, and I serve the Lord," or "I fear the Lord," and he's on the run, you know. And so we get to our scripture text tonight, and we understand that Jonah prayed. He prayed after he was thrown overboard. Somebody say, "Man overboard." He was thrown overboard, and he begins to pray. And the Lord had prepared a fish for Jonah. And aren't you glad that the Lord is merciful, that even in Jonah's disobedience, that the Lord was still looking out for Jonah? And even in our ways, that sometimes we're not always on the straight and narrow, but he is merciful to us. Aren't you glad that we serve a God of mercy tonight? And but Jonah, we get to what we're going to talk about tonight, and we're going to see a course correction. And if you're taking notes, course correction of the heart plus the behavior really comes to a change, or what we would refer to as repentance. And so God is patient. He doesn't abandon his people. And the scripture tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the scripture says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Notice what it says. "As some men count slackness," Sister Lori, it's 2 Peter 3, 9, "but is longsuffering toward us, and not willing that any should perish, but that all," somebody say, "That's me," "should come to repentance." So the first point tonight I want to make is things change when we repent. Yeah. Things change when we repent. Jonah 2:1 says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Jonah 2:9 says, notice this, "But I'll pay, or I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah has come to an agreement with God, or himself, really, realizing that it was time to stop running and time to start repenting and get on board with what God has called him to do. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Are you running? Quit running and start repenting." Don't be afraid of them. They may need to hear that. Listen, repentance is something that we see Jonah do while in the belly of the whale. Let me ask you something. Rhetorical question, but do you only repent when you get caught? Because he was caught. Do you only repent when it's the last Sunday of the month or the last Sunday of the year and we're going to do foot washing and communion? Or communion every other year and foot washing and communion? Do you only repent when Brother Poindexter comes or Brother Hernandez comes? Is you afraid they're going to read some things into your life? Do you only repent when pastor sends you a text message or an email and says, "Hey, can you meet me or can we talk? I just may need your help moving some furniture." And you're like, "Oh, he found out." It's unfortunate, but Jonah repented when he was caught. He was caught by the fish, but he was caught. We look at the term in the scripture, and in fact, most of the 10 verses, really about 8 of the verses in chapter 2, is a prayer, and it's Jonah repenting, Jonah praying unto the Lord. But it's unfortunate that it took Jonah to be caught by the fish and be in the belly of the fish or the whale in order for him to pray and to repent. And repentance in what we would understand means to turn around or to change one's mind. And Jesus talked about it. Jesus taught about it. And Jesus instructed us to repent. In fact, it's in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, the scripture says, "And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name," somebody say in Jesus' name, "among some cities, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And we know that the Apostle Peter preached that on the day of Pentecost, specifically, case in point, Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It was the Apostle Peter that preached the essentiality of repentance and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. Repentance involves both a mind, attitude, and behavior change. Listen, repentance is not a bad word. You should not be afraid of repentance, but neither should you wait till you're caught. Well, to repent. You shouldn't wait till your back is up against the wall to repent. Repentance is remorse. It's deep sorrow or regret for things, and it's a change in attitude, mind, and behavior where Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. He was going to Tarshish, and when he got in the belly of the whale and he began to have true repentance, he went and turned away from where he was going and he went towards Nineveh. Repentance is you're headed south and you repent of your sins and you start heading north in the direction where God has called you to go. And so I'm thankful tonight that we can have repentance. I'm thankful tonight that repentance and baptism in Jesus' name did not end with the apostles, but we have that available for us tonight. And if you're here tonight, you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, and if you're here tonight and you have, and you got some things that are unsettled in your heart, hey, you can repent tonight. Matthew 3:8 says, "Bring forth therefore fruits." I like that. Fruits.
Yeah.
Meat. For repentance. Let me say something tonight that that once you get the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, it does not exclude you or prevent you from repenting after that. You should be, and if you're not, repenting every day. Well, Pastor, I don't even pray every day. Well, that's a good reason to pray every day then. Come on, somebody. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive God, right? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. There's one thing God cannot do. That is lie. Well, Pastor, I don't sin. Well, I beg to differ. I have nothing to repent about. Well, I beg to differ. Jonah had to repent over his disobedience.
Yeah.
His willful disregard for what God asked him to do. Let me just ask you this. Is there anything that you need to repent over? No looking around. Whether someone knows about those things or not. Whether anybody ever finds out about those things or not. But God knows. Jonah began to make changes immediately after he prayed. But notice this. Nothing changed in his environment while he was praying. Read the scripture. Jonah 2. He was praying and nothing changed while he was praying. But Jonah prayed, and the change that took place was the change that took place in Jonah. Because you read our scripture text tonight, verse 9, he said, I will keep the vow that I've made. He was still in the belly of the whale. You see, he was in the belly of the whale, and the thoughts of what he did not do or failed to do. Notice I said what he could not do. I didn't say what he could not do, what he chose not to do or would not do. The seaweed around his head. Reading this, it's like he was coming in and out of consciousness. But it was his state of prayer that brought him to the reality that God was in control. Some of us need to recognize that God is in control. Amen. That job you're so proud of, those looks you're so vain about. Yeah. God's in control. Be careful he don't hit you with an ugly spirit. Notice that the affliction he was in began to change as he prayed and repented. Are you facing affliction? Like what the psalmist tells us in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That means that us here tonight that are filled with the Spirit, baptized in His name, you're here on Wednesday night doing all that you can to grow and bear fruit, to be steadfast, you're going to have some affliction. In fact, it says, many are the affliction. But the Lord, somebody say, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Notice, Jonah says, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You know that what God wanted Jonah to do? Hear this. This is going to change your life right here. What God wanted Jonah to do didn't change because he repented. Well, I prayed about it. I prayed through and okay, good. Doesn't stop the will of God. If God's asked you to do something just because you prayed through and you prayed about it. Jonah prayed through and Jonah prayed about it. And what happened? He still had to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. In fact, you got to give some latitude here when you read the whole book. But Jonah still had his opinion about the whole situation, even though he went to Nineveh. He still had feelings about what he thought God asked him to do. He was not okay with it, but he was faithful and obedient with what God asked him to do, and he did it anyways. You may not be okay. You may have some feelings or opinions about some of the things in this church, But God has asked and God is leading. God has commissioned us to do something. You got to get your feelings out of the way, sir. You got to get your feelings out of the way, man. Well, I prayed about it. Pray all you want. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah prophesied. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm in control. I'm in control of the storm. I'm in control of the word. I'm in control of the whale. And guess what? I'm in control of what takes place in Nineveh. And I asked you to do something. I need you to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I pray through. Good for you. He still had to go to Nineveh.
Yeah.
That is not a hard lesson to learn.
No.
Yeah. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there's going to be some things that we don't like, we don't agree with. You may feel indifferent about. It's God's word.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh. Amen.
Well, you know, it's just my opinion. Hey, I'm sure Jonah, he had his opinion too. Do you see where it got him? Well, I like to call that blind spots. We all have blind spots. And we need to come to terms with our blind spots, spiritually and emotionally. Yeah. He said, I will pay the vow that I vowed. You know, God didn't change his mind. Jonah had to come to grips with God was in control. You know, God is in control in everything. Everything. Say, well, what about my feelings? Well, that's called flesh.
Yeah.
We don't live in the flesh. We don't walk in the flesh.
No.
We walk and we live in the spirit.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the flesh has its own desires. And when we start having thoughts and attitudes and behaviors and feelings that are contrary to God's word, God's man, or God's voice,
yeah,
you got to put that in the back and just say, okay, I get it. I get it. Because the scripture tells in Romans 8:8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In fact, that kind of goes hand in hand with Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're not called to live or walk in the flesh. We are called to walk in harmony and alignment with God and one another. How can any two walk together lest they agree? Right? God commands a blessing. Notice this. God commands a blessing when there's harmony and unity. I'll give you scripture. Psalm 133:1-3. Notice what it says. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he likens it like to the oil, the anointing oil that flows from Aaron's all the way through the top of Aaron's top of his beard, even to Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Notice this. And there God commanded a blessing. I believe that sometimes in spite of ourselves or unbeknownst to us, we hinder the blessings of God on our personal life because we're not in harmony or unity with either him or one another.
That's good. Amen.
For there the Lord commanded a blessing. When God commands something, it happens. It takes place.
Yeah.
You can't live for God based off of feelings.
No.
We serve God alone. Remember, Psalm 103, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his children, or we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. Been bought with a price, right? Point two said tonight is God's perfect will is unchanging.
Right.
God doesn't change. The immutable, unchanging God. His will is unchanging. When God speaks, his word does not return void. How many are thankful for that? That his word doesn't return void. Right? How many are really, you truly are thankful that God's word doesn't return void? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord standeth forever. We like that. In fact, the scripture, Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. Whoo! But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper.
Yeah.
Yes.
We like that when it's about blessings and the Lord wants to do something for us. Right? But when the Lord says, hey, woohoo, need you to do something. I'm telling you to do something. Hey, listen. Jonah couldn't deny that he didn't hear what God had said, right? The word goes out of his mouth, doesn't return void. God's word does not change. People change. Circumstances change. Society changes. Trends change. Clothes change. Preachers change. But God does not change.
That's right.
The Jonah had to come to grips to himself, and he had to go back to that vow that he made. We don't know what that vow was. Maybe he made a vow when the Lord called him to be a prophet or a preacher. But a vow is a solemn promise or a pledge or a personal commitment. Notice this. When Jonah finally came to grips and started heading in the right direction spiritually, he remembered he made a vow to God somewhere, someplace. Vow is not something that we hear or talk about too much, especially in our modern vernacular. But it means something when somebody says, I vow, right? In fact, we tend to only hear that word vow when? Marriages. Yeah. It's when we hear it, right? Brother, Sister Marquez, it's just when we hear it, right? But Jonah prayed and understood that God's perfect will was unchanging, and he was going to keep the vow that he had made to the Lord.
Amen.
I wonder how many of us have made vows to the Lord at an altar, in a hospital room, in the courthouse, in jail, in a prayer meeting, at NAYC or youth convention, or an AYC trip, or at missions conference, you made a vow, or during a fast, or right before a job interview, you made a vow. Have we been faithful keeping those vows? Oh God, if you do this, if you don't let my mom and dad find out, God, I'll go to church every Sunday. And I'll give Starbucks gift cards to everybody I come in contact with. Lord, if they drop those charges, I'll take my family to church every Wednesday. God, if you save my grandma and you don't let her die, I'll bring her to church. God, I'm going to give this $1,000 at missions conference, Lord, and I promise to give another $1,000, Lord, if I sell this house or I get that job. Well, how are we doing? So Jonah had to come to grips with his vow while he was caught. Let's not end up in the belly of a circumstance and then remember the vows that we made to the Lord. You got to think how disgusting that was to be in the belly of a whale. I mean, you know, Shamu, a big, big whale. I mean, right? I mean, what goes in a whale's belly? Probably everything, right? Listen, God loves people. God hates sin. We've made vows unto the Lord. People are going to fall. People are going to make mistakes. Listen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad that whenever you fell or you fell short of the glory of God, that the rapture didn't come and that 2 seconds later?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that today's what, November 20th? And that tomorrow morning, the Lord allows, we wake up tomorrow, there'll be just as much mercy tomorrow as there was today. Whether he's sitting there or not, right? There's the Lord is going to shine his mercy upon us tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whether we deserve it or not. Who are we? Who are we? Who are we to say who God blesses, who God anoints, what God gives and who he gives it to? God forgives. God heals. God delivers. God controls everything. And until we can do all of that, until you can walk on water, until you can be crucified and be put in a tomb and get up in 3 days and do more miracles and show forth yourself, until you can do that, it's none of your concern what God does for somebody else or who God uses, who he decides to save. Aren't you glad that the Lord looked at us and said, you know what? I love them anyways. Despite this, despite that, despite what he really knows about us, he loves us anyways. We don't get to decide who God heals, delivers, forgives, blesses, or loves. Who God uses and why He uses them and who He blesses and why He blesses them. We just need to get in alignment with God and with God's people. How many of you have that kind of personality of just kind of like, and this is okay if applied properly, of just kind of antagonizing people. Why is everybody looking over here? They're all looking at Brother Ronnie, right? If that's you, I got a word for you. Hebrews 10:24. Provoke them to love and to good works. If you want to provoke people, provoke them to love and to good works. Just go around peace and love. Instead of being critical. Well, I just call it like I see it. Well, the Lord calls it like He sees it too. And you got a critical spirit. Big mouth, gossiper, troublemaker. What if God called you by what you do like you call other people what they do? What if God, when you walked in the door, said, oh, there's brother adulterer right there. Hey, whoo! Yeah. Well, I just call it like I see it. You know, they sing off beat. Well, you got a big nose.
Yeah.
Nosy. But God doesn't do that. Right? He loves us anyways, despite, right? And Jonah had a problem with going to Nineveh because it was a Gentile nation. He had a problem with it. We should not have a problem with backsliders, people that come in here that aren't wearing a suit and tie, that don't know how to church like we church. Hey, God loves everybody. Yeah, they need the Holy Ghost. They need to be baptized in Jesus' name. They're not going to be on the platform. But guess what? We weren't on the platform our first service here when you got saved and God filled you with the Holy Ghost. We got a whole world and a whole city that needs Jesus. Are we letting our light shine for Jesus? God's going to have a church. Let's not be a hindrance to others.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Biblical prophecy is going to take place whether we're a part of it or not.
Yes.
We just need to be ready and available for when the trumpet sounds.
Yes.
Or God asks us to get involved in some things. If you're not sure where you fit in the church, what your place is, there's two things that never changes when you get in the church. To be faithful, to be a steward, to be faithful in your stewardship and in your worship. That never changes. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of Him. Right? I got it in reverse, but that's what it's saying. And in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's something that never, ever changes. It doesn't change. So you say, oh, pastor, I'm new to the church. What do? Be a faithful worshiper.
Right.
Be a faithful worshiper. Well, pastor, I've been in the church a long time and I'm just kind of wore out with some things. Guess what? Be a worshiper.
Right.
Worshiper in the church and outside the church. Just be a worshiper. So Jonah is, repentant. He has a change of heart and he vows, he makes that commitment and pledges again to fulfill the vow that he made. So I stop right here, I drop an anchor and I say, what promises, commitments, or vows have we maybe fallen off? Maybe January 1st, we said we were going to do some things, or missions conference. Mid-year, we said we were going to do some things for the Lord. Maybe we've fallen off. It's never too late to get back on track.
No.
And then he's vomited out upon dry land. Like, what a sight that was. He was on a 3-day fast, whether he wanted to or not, right? 3 days and 3 nights. Then he's vomited out. It's gross. But there was probably some things that attached itself to Jonah as he was on dry land that he brought with him from the fish's belly. Probably stinky, right? Maybe a fish on his head. You know, lukewarmness will cause God to spew us out.
Yep.
That's what it says. Revelation 3:15, 3:16. Yeah. You're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. Lukewarmness is liking God but not being in love with God.
Right.
Serving God only when it benefits you.
Right.
Serving God with lip service, but the heart is removed. God, help us to live for Him.
Amen.
Amen.
It's all of our heart, soul, mind,
yes,
strength. I'm coming to a close. Notice Jonah 3 and 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, rise, go to Nineveh, the great city, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Yeah. It's amazing what changes when you pray and you repent. Because Jonah, verse 3 says, arose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord, 3 days' journey. Last point I want to make is Jonah surrendered and the people repented. Surrender means to succumb, to give up, to yield. Like what the proverb writer tells us in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Reverence the Lord and depart from evil. See, Jonah's surrendering shows us his obedience and his repentance. So he went to Nineveh and he preached. Very short message. Says that he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And guess what? The people believed him. They heeded to the word of God. If you notice at the end of chapter 3, that they went on a fast. Even the animals went on the fast. The king, towards the end of chapter 3, it says that the people turned from their wicked ways. See, Jonah was holding up a revival of an entire nation. And God had to deal with a messenger before he could get to the message to a people that were ready to repent. Pastor, I don't know if they want to come. I don't know if they're interested. Well, Jonah didn't think they were interested either. He thought maybe they weren't going to listen. Now in modern times we have seen tens of thousands of people receive the Holy Ghost in one shot. But on the day of Pentecost, it was only a couple thousand, and I don't say that disrespectfully, right? But Jonah was responsible for preaching and an entire city turning from their wicked ways. I mean, that's pretty cool. But all the things he had to go through, Sister Ellen, the musicians come, all the things he had to go through in order for him to become obedient, to be a part of something amazing. Right? It reminds me of the scripture in Habakkuk 2. It says, I'm going to do a work in your day that though it be told to you, you would not believe it. You think Jonah would have believed if the Lord said, hey, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh, you're going to preach a 5-word sermon, they're going to go on a fast, they're going to turn from their wicked ways. You know, oh no, that's not going to happen. Well, it did. God had to deal with the messenger before he could get the message, because the messenger was disobedient and selfish, had his own opinion and his own feelings about something. Let that be a lesson to us.
Yeah.
We fear what we don't understand.
Right. There you go.
Well, they look different. Well, you look different too.
Yep.
Think about how you look before you came to the church. You clean up good, right? God loves people.
Yes, he does.
He died on the cross for sins of people.
That's right.
Not for religion. Not for churches.
Nope.
Not for preachers. Not for Pentecostals. He died on the cross for the sins of people. So who are we reaching?
Right.
Can God trust us? What are we doing? Are there kids? Are there Sunday school kids and youth and elderly, middle age people that you work with, you go to school with, next door neighbors? Oh, they just party all the time. Well, you partied all the time too. Oh, well, they don't say hi. Well, you don't say hi to them. I am preaching to myself. Preaching to myself. Preaching to myself. Unbelievable that we don't know our neighbors. And I'm preaching to myself. Unbelievable. Like we used to. Well, things are different. But the gospel hasn't changed. I got to work better with that. I got to do better. I'm being transparent. God loves people. He loves people. I'm glad that he loves me and he loves you as you stand tonight. I'm glad that he didn't give up on us. When they knocked on our door the first time, or we turned down that Bible study or that invitation to church, I'm glad he didn't give up on us. I'm glad that Brother Charlie didn't give up on you. I'm glad. Right? I'm glad that Joseph didn't give up on you. Right? I'm glad. I'm thankful tonight. Right? He loves people. We're people. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. Just man falls down, but he gets back up again. And he's merciful. That's the beauty of this all. God was merciful to Joseph and to Jonah. And he was merciful to Nineveh. What? That blood could have been on Jonah's hands. Think about that. But God was merciful to a city and he was merciful to a messenger. Help us tonight, oh God, to be thankful and appreciative of your mercy, Lord. Help us tonight as we lift our hands, God. Help us to be appreciative, God, that you didn't give up on us and we're not going to give up on others. There's backsliders, there's co-workers, there's neighbors, there's friends, there's schoolmates, God. They need, Lord, you. We got to do better. Pastors got to do better. It's not just up to pastor. It's not just up to Sunday school or youth department, ministry team. But there's over 100 of us here tonight that we can do better. We got people in this city and our neighbors and friends and love. You're going to come into contact with it. You got great opportunity to bring them to a night of thanks. I wonder if we could find a place tonight to pray and thank the Lord for his mercy. And then pray that God would help us to be more open and responsive to being a messenger of the gospel. Can we do that?
Because you were forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm excited.
Let's learn from Jonah tonight.
You were condemned.
Let's learn from Jonah.
I'm alive and well. Your spirit is.
Jonah finally surrendered. Can we surrender tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned.
I'm thankful for God's mercy tonight.
I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me.
I'm thankful for God's mercy tonight. Undeserving. I'm thankful for his amazing grace.
Amazing love.
Thankful tonight.
How can it be?
You didn't give up on us, oh God.
To
thankful tonight, God. When I turned down the Bible study or I turned down the invitation to church, God. Or I ran from my ministry and my calling. We've been selfish. We took our ministry involvement as routine and being mundane in our season of disobedience, our season of ignorance. Thankful you didn't give up on us, God. I'm thankful, God, that you called us to this city, God. Thankful tonight, God, that we have a church that's praying, God. Believers tonight, God. Opportunity for homeless shelter. Ministry, God, Sunday school.